From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast in which Hank talked with prominent author and social critic Oz Guinness. Let's now join Hank as he introduces Dr. Guinness.
And thank you so much for joining me on another edition of Hank Unplugged. I wanted to take a moment just to thank everyone who has been a loyal listener of this podcast. I'll tell you, bringing these conversations to you continues to be one of my favorite ministry activities. It's absolutely amazing to me that we've already brought over 70 episodes of Hank Unplugged to listeners around the world. And I'm already looking forward to bringing you more of the most informative, interesting, and inspirational individuals from around the globe to wherever you are listening. Today will be no exception. In fact, this is going to be one of the greatest podcasts. I can say that because I've interviewed my guest many times over the years. His name is Dr. Oz Guinness. Oz was born in China. He was born to missionary parents, and he's the author or editor of more than 30 books, including some of my all-time favorites, Renaissance, subtitled The Power of the Gospel, However Dark the Times, one that I featured many, many years ago and I really loved, Fit Bodies, Fat Minds, another, A Free People's Suicide, and then the one we'll talk about most today, Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. This is an incredible resource, obviously available to those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Oz, great to have you on the podcast.
Hank, it's always a delight. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I tell you, we have loved your book, your latest book, Last Call for Liberty. In a strange sort of way, it is a wake-up call to all of us, and we've been promoting that quite actively on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I want to start talking to you about your experience in China, and maybe you can give us a bit of your perspective on what the state of China is today.
Well, sadly, it wasn't too long ago where people thought the combination of capitalism and technology would really see an opening up of China. And that was the sort of sense after Jiang Zemin. But now under Xi Jinping, you can see an incredible campaign to stamp out all alternative sources of authority, whether it's the persecution of the church or the repression of the Uyghurs, the Muslims in Western China, with these re-education camps. So China is going through a very, very dark spell at the moment. But of course, the church has faced worse, and I'm sure they will survive, and the blood of the martyrs will be the seeds of even greater things.
I've spent a lot of time in China over the last 10 or 15 years, and it seemed that the doors for the gospel were wide open. Now the persecution, as you alluded to, is pretty dramatic. And you're right, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. But look at what's going on with respect to persecution around the world. I think about what's going on in the Middle East or in the Levant, squarely in the blind spot of the West, but some of the oldest Christian communities in places like Iraq, Mosul, virtually wiped out.
No, you're exactly right. And those are the two worst, I think, in the world. And then, of course, you have Nigeria and places like that. So things are a really bad situation. So wherever people are persecuted today, Christians are persecuted. And there's the irony. We are the pioneers of religious freedom. Sadly, in the medieval ages, we were the perpetrators of some of the worst violations against it. And now in the modern world, we're the most persecuted faith in the entire world. So it's a tough world, and you can see here in America with the LGBTQ activists tightening down, the discrimination against Christians is strengthening here. So So these are challenging times, no question.
One of the things caught my attention, Oz, is your public school curriculum, where you're seeking to deepen appreciation for the principles of religious liberty, establish a strong civic commitment, and create opportunities for civil discourse over religious differences in public life. What I want to talk to you about for just a moment here, or have you expand on, is the opportunities for Christians like yourself and others to contribute in this way. How significant is it to have Christians on the vanguard of creating things that shape the minds of students at a very early age?
Well, I think we've got to do that, whether it's education or public life in general. But I'm, you know, when I was involved in the Women's Vote Charter, the mid-1980s, I got death threats for about 6 months, but they came from the extreme Christian right, because the Women's Vote Charter gave religious freedom to atheists and Muslims and so on, to everyone. But if you look at where we are today, the real problem now is on the extreme left. So I think the Religious Freedom Restoration Act in 1993 was the high watermark of the old consensus. And even the ACLU signed on to that, and it was passed under Bill Clinton. And you think of the 20 years since 1993, and now there's a sea change, so the old ways are almost unrecognizable. And you can see that religious freedom is under threat in this country as never before, reversing 300 plus years of an incredible record on religious freedom. You know, in my book, I call it the three dark R's, but the worst of the three are those who I call the rebranders. And they've taken religious freedom, which used to be the first liberty for Americans, and they rebranded it as a code word for bigotry and discrimination. And that's absolutely disastrous. And they're pursuing this in a zero-sum way, and we're in for a very ugly time, I'm afraid. But, of course, we've got to be faithful to our Lord, whatever the challenge is.
You talk about being in for a very ugly time. It seems, as you read through your book, Last Call for Liberty, that our republic, the American Republic, in your view, is now experiencing the gravest crisis since the Civil War. And you say that this crisis is as significant as what happened under the 20th century Soviet communist authorities, even as great as Hitler's National Socialism. I'd like you to expand on that, because that's an incredible statement.
Well, the U.S. led the forces that overcame first the Nazis and then the Soviets. In other words, the master race and the master class. But now the challenges are not external. There are external challenges, the rise of China and so on, but the real challenges today are internal. And that's why it's so deadly, because it's coming internally from Americans. So there's no question that America's as deeply divided as at any time since the Civil War. But the question is why? You know, some people just see a rise in incivility or another episode of left against right. Or going deeper, people say, well, it's the coastals, New York, California, over against the Heartlanders in the flyover territory, the Midwest, and so on. And then others, and I think this is the deepest of the alternative explanations, they say it's the nationalists and populists over against the globalists, people like George Soros. All of those have something to say for them. But my argument, as you know in the book, is that the deepest, deepest division is far more important than any of those. It's those whose understanding of the American Republic, and above all of freedom, go back to the American Revolution, which was decisively, although not consistently, Christian through the Reformation. And those whose understanding of America and freedom go back, often without their realizing it, to 1789, the French Revolution, the French Enlightenment, and the ideas that have flown down from them. And you can see those are two very different revolutions. If you put that in biblical terms, since we're people of faith, Hank, you remember Paul says to the Galatians, who's bewitched you? This is another gospel you're following. Who's bewitched you? They've gone astray so soon. And in a way, what's happening in America, this is not another gospel, but another revolution. It's not the American Revolution. It's the French Revolution. And it'll be absolutely disastrous for freedom.
You know, you once said, and I've quoted you many times, and I don't know if what's original with you, but I usually give you credit, that contrast is the mother of clarity. And I think that's the brilliance of this book, the continuing contrast that you make between what happened in 1776 and the American Revolution, and then what happened in 1789 and the French Revolution. But one of the things I fear the most, and this again underscores the need to read the book, is that people are largely historically illiterate. So they see Les Mis and the French Revolution being glorified in some sense, and they think this was a good thing, as opposed to being something that had dramatic ramifications, not only for France, but for the world.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Dr. Oz Guinness. Will the torch of freedom be handed to someone else or be extinguished altogether? Oz Guinness addresses this issue in what may be one of the most important books of our time. If you care about our liberties and the future of our nation, his new book, Last Call for Liberty, is an absolute must-read. To receive your copy of Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Did you know that 23 of 25 major evangelical denominations are in decline? Or did you know that we're losing millions of evangelicals from the church in the United States? About 2.6 million per decade. And that what's left of a smaller, shrinking church is splintering over politics and a postmodern view of God and the Bible. Sadly, far too many Christians are simply oblivious in their bubbles, or too glued to their smartphones to notice the rising tide of spiritual and cultural decadence that threatens the church. Thankfully, others are receiving their wake-up calls and deciding to make a difference before it's too late. If you want to make a difference, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a year-end gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the Journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Will the torch of freedom be handed to someone else or be extinguished altogether? These are the opening words to what may be one of the most important books of our time. If you care about American liberties and the future of our nation, Last Call for Liberty by Oz Guinness is an absolute must-read. Few issues are more fundamental than our most basic liberties, and those liberties are under attack like never before. The good news is that this dangerous direction need not be our destiny, but only if those concerned are willing to act in time. To receive your copy of Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat, visit equip.org and make a gift in support of the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
With the year winding down, the Christian Research Institute faces a major funding gap that must be closed by December 31st that directly impacts this broadcast. And it's only through your generous support that it can be fully closed. So please help us continue being there for the hundreds of thousands like you who benefit from the Christian Research Institute each month. This is the last week to give your gift to help close our final year-end funding gap. So call now, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Let's rejoin Hank and Dr. Guinness in their conversation.
One of the things I fear the most, and this again underscores the need to read the book, is that people are largely historically illiterate. So they see Les Mis and the French Revolution being glorified in some sense, and they think this was a good thing as opposed to being something that had dramatic ramifications, not only for France, but for the world.
No, you're exactly right. We romanticize revolution because of Les Mis. Actually, that's the 1830s revolution, not even the French Revolution. But you're right. If you look, the English Revolution, which failed, and the American Revolution, which succeeded gloriously, were both biblical through the Reformation. But the French Revolution, and then the Russian Revolution in 1917, and the Chinese Revolution in 1949, were decisively anti-biblical and anti-religious. And they come really from the French Enlightenment, not from the Bible in any way. And they both produced reigns of terror. I mean, all three of them did. And they produced killing fields, sadly, and maybe 2 million killed in the French Revolution, upwards of more than 30 million in the Soviet Revolution, and maybe even as many as 75 million under Mao Zedong in the Chinese Revolution. And so we've got to get people to think historically and think biblically. I mean, the sources are quite different, the Enlightenment and the Bible. The views of humanity are different. I mean, the American Revolution has its core, the idea humans are fallen, so you need checks and balances, separation of powers, which, of course, goes back to the scriptures, the monarchy, the priesthood, and the prophets, and so on. And you can see, if you go all the way down the line, the differences are incredibly different, and they make a difference. And it will quite literally spell the end of the American Republic if the ideas from the liberal left, progressives, and so on prevail.
I was thinking as you were speaking of this moniker that the pen is mightier than the sword, and Jean-Jacques Rousseau wrote this discourse on the origins and foundations of inequity among men, I think it was back in 1750 or 1755. And that actually was responsible in many ways for inspiring the ruthlessness of the French Revolution.
No, that's right. But whenever you have utopian ideas, you know, his idea, man is born free, but everywhere's in chains. You just got to remove the repressions, whatever they are, and then we'll all be happy, free, and fulfilled. Well, when you have utopian nonsense like that, unlike the American Revolution, you have to fill in the gap between the ideal and the real, and it's always filled in with coercion and violence, which is why so many of the utopian revolutions are the harbingers of the worst evil. In other words, there's two main sources of evil in the world. One are the dualists, people who see things as we, they, we're good, they're bad, as if there's no fallenness in us. But the really worst evils come from utopians. And Mao Zedong was a utopian. Rousseau was a utopian. And you can see that utopianism, say, in the sexual revolution. Just remove the repressions, bring sex education down to three-year-olds, etc. And as Wilhelm Reich and others said, we'll all be happy, free, and fulfilled. And he actually says if we can all have 5 orgasms a week, is his suggestion, then we'll clearly be unrepressed and we'll be happy. And this is just utopian nonsense.
I want to talk a little bit about France in the present. Get your perspective on, you know, the riots and the migration without assimilation, which I've often likened to the python swallowing its prey with a long and slow digestion. Not original with me, but I think it's very apt description of what's happening with the lack of assimilation that's taking place in places like France. What's your perspective on what's going on with the riots right now in France?
Well, sadly, they are reaping the folly of the globalists and their notion of a globalist world, because that undermines the identity and unity of a people. Now, well, then let's take America. America's a nation by intention and by ideas, and underlying everything are beliefs. It's not just come here and have a good time or have economic opportunities, but there used to be a melting pot. People would come from Europe, say, where they thought of the past, and through civic education, the melting pot, they became Americans and had beliefs not tied by blood, and they thought of the future. Now, in other words, to have that, you've got to have civic education. You've got to teach citizens what it means to be in a country like this. You just have everyone flooding in. Eventually, you undermine both identity and unity. And, of course, that's happened in spades in Europe with Angela Merkel's disastrous y'all-come policies. And naturally, there's a backlash against it. In the name, sometimes it can be ugly, nativism and nationalism, rather than the genuine patriotism, but the folly of the progressive left and so on is just disastrous. A borderless world would mean the end of America. Now, the trouble is here, President Trump is right. You've got to have identity, walls, and so on. But it isn't just walls. You've got to bring the people who come into the country, whether newborns or immigrants, you've got to teach them what it is to be American. Otherwise, immigration puts more of a stamp on America than the revolution. So here and there, you've got the problem. Now, of course, in countries like France, you have an additional thing of incredible taxation. So I was talking to a French woman last night, my wife and I were, and she said, we lost over 50% of our paycheck every month through taxation. And it's absolutely absurd. So it's above all a reaction against the globalism and notions like the borderless world. There's also factors like extreme taxation and reaction to the bureaucrats in Brussels.
Talk about this from a personal standpoint. You oftentimes call yourself a visitor, and you have this visitor's perspective on what is happening in America. You were born in China, educated in England. I was born in Holland, and we immigrated first to Canada and then the United States. But there seems to be something about American freedom that is particularly precious to people like ourselves.
Well, you see things freshly when you see them from the outside, I think. Quote by Rudyard Kipling, what knows he of England, who only England knows? In other words, you see your own country best when you see it from the vantage point of an outsider's perspective. Then you add what you said earlier, the lack of history and the mediocrity of education and the collapse of civic education, the notion of a pluribus unum, of teaching citizenship. It's completely gone. And, of course, that's one of the things that goes right back to the Old Testament. You had to pass it on from generation to generation, parents to children, teachers to students, or faith, and for us equally freedom, would die. Transmission's absolutely essential. It's gone in America. And that's why the Republic is in serious danger.
I think that is such an incredibly important point in your book. Jacob Neusner said that civilization is suspended from generation to generation. I think he called it the gossamer strand of memory. And if one cohort of mothers and fathers fails to convey to its children what it has learned from its parents, then the great chain of learning and wisdom will snap. In other words, you'll have the collapse of the whole edifice of knowledge and understanding. And this is, I think, one of the most important warnings that we need to pass on the values that we have as Christians to our children. I mean, you have this mass exodus of children out of the church, and part of it is because parents have abdicated their responsibility, as have churches and schools.
No, you're exactly right, Hank, and we need to say that loud and clear. And, you know, I was reading Jonathan Sacks, Rabbi Sacks, and he said, the constant question I had as chief rabbi, will we have Jewish grandchildren? In other words, the transmission, the handing on, the passing on of the baton is absolutely essential. And it's for the Jews, they rightly understood that schooling is more important than the army. And that's true for a free society. That's also true for a faith community. Now, the freedom, it goes back to, you know, the French philosopher Montesquieu, who pointed out you not only need the structures of freedom, that's the law, the constitution, regulations, all that. You need the spirit of freedom. And you think, say, of our churches, you know, the notion of generationalism, the segmenting of generations, which is so crazy in the churches. And we're losing the sense of the whole body of Christ, the kids, the old people, we're all one in Christ, and so on. And there's so many foolish things happening in America, certainly including in the churches.
Well, we've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. To listen to this Hank Unplugged podcast interview with distinguished author and social critic Oz Guinness in its entirety, go to equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. If you'd like to stand shoulder to shoulder with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute in the battle for life and truth, and receive as our thanks for your gift Oz Guinness's book, Last Call for Liberty: How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat, call our resource consultants now at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A humorous definition of a conservative is someone who sits and thinks, but mainly sits. With that definition in mind, could the greatest threat to today's church be that many of us mainly sit and don't think? If history is any lesson, the failure to both think and act during times of crisis can be downright dangerous. And for Christians today, increasingly battered by the gale force winds of militant secularism, the need is to think Christianly and act courageously. Faced with these challenges, will you be a conformer or a transformer? Will you be the object of worldly change or an agent of change for the King of Kings? To go on record as an agent of change, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a special year-end gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.